went to one of those hibachi Japanese restaurant things, which is a lot of fun. It's fun food. It's fun. They cook the food in front of you. They fling it all over the place. You eat it with chopsticks. You know, you get into it, man. If you're going to eat that kind of food, let's try to eat it differently. No forks. Use sticks. Let's get into it, man. Let's do it. Let's do it. Let's go the whole hog on this thing. This lovely Japanese girl, this server, comes over to me. She looked like she was a cast member in The Grudge, which is not a bad thing necessarily. And she says to me, are you ready to order? And I said, yes, I am. She says, do you have any food allergies? And I stopped. I thought to myself, wow, she really cares about me. She's looking out for my well-being. I think I can form a relationship with this girl.
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Welcome to the Ron Van Dam Show. Welcome. Hold on tight. Well, things can get a bit weird.
Sure.
If you like that sort of thing.
Sometimes I do.
Whatever.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Good night.
Good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Well done.
Back, relax, grab a cup of coffee, a cup of tea, whatever your liquid libation may be in the morning, and join us as we take a look at the world around us. As much as it's a pleasure to be with you, the pleasure is actually all yours. And now, here's your host, Ron Van Dam.
Van Dam. Thank you very much, Julie. Welcome to the program. How are you today? Good to be with you. This is a relationship that I can't describe. Really nice. Really nice. We bond. We intellectually get it on, and yet there's no touching. I don't even necessarily know you at all. I'm sure I don't. At least I don't know your innermost secrets, all those things that you hide from people. Seems like a normal person. Wait till you get to know them. Not so normal. So this Japanese server comes to me in this hibachi restaurant. She has a physical quality which actually freaked me out, which other people would say is a beautiful quality, but it freaked me out. She had large eyes. Now, most people would say, my God, your eyes are striking. They're so large and soulful, and they're just beautiful. I can see the whites of your eyes, or your pupils, your students. You're just so... Those eyes are just so intriguing. Me, they're grudge eyes. It means you are the epitome of evil. You can stare me down with your laser eyes and my head will explode. There's people living inside your head that you've chewed up and annihilated. I just, large eyes scare me. People with big, wide eyes... it's like they can drill into my forehead, you know, simply by glancing at me. It's just freaks me out. I think it's because I saw that movie, The Grudge. Are you familiar with that? Yeah, that's about these girls and the monster is this little thing, this little girl with gigantic eyes, and she's just all over the place. She crawls up the stairs like a snake. She just like she gets into bed and chews your legs off. It's just she has wide eyes. So now every time I see somebody with big beautiful eyes, I get freaked out. It's like clowns. It's the same thing with clowns. I've talked about clowns on this show before. Clowns should be illegal. It should be illegal to be a clown. When someone robs a bank, what do? They put on a clown mask. Why? Because clowns are evil. Clowns represent death to me. It's true. In all the movies, the mass murderers, what do? They put on a clown mask. I mean, come on, man. I mean, get with the program. It's so obvious. Clowns are evil. That's why I never wanted to go to the circus. They got these mass murdering clowns running all over the ring. Sometimes three rings. It's crazy. It's like a circus in there. No. Not me. Those big plastic noses and it's the big shoes. The big shoes. That's a dead giveaway. What kind of people wear gigantic shoes and have water squirting out a flower on their lapel? That is psychotic. Anyway, and their weapon of choice, well, out in the open, it's a seltzer bottle. They'll squirt you with seltzer or with water or something, but behind their backs are gigantic machetes. These are evil things, these clowns. They are evil. My mother, when she became elderly, moved into a place, and she decorated the place herself. My mother's favorite color was orange. I could never figure that out. Orange to me is not even a color. It's some type of an annoying entity. It's just orange. Orange should only be on oranges because that is the name. The fruit is actually named after the color that it is. I mean, we don't call lemons yellows. We don't. But we call oranges orange, I guess, because that's just it. But in my mind, that's the only thing that should be orange. A pumpkin, that's seasonal. You know, it's not a big deal. Nothing should be orange. Orange is the color of clowns, I guess. Anyway. So my mother had this, she wore orange clothes and orange pants. She loved orange for some reason. Well, she had a guest room, and when I would visit, because she lived far away, when I would visit, I would stay in the guest room, and on the wall opposite the guest bed was this gigantic picture of a clown. And I believe it was Emmett Kelly, one of the most famous clowns in our history. And let me tell you something. If you're a famous clown, you don't have much competition. I can't name a lot of famous clowns, to be honest with you. I cannot. Ron, name five real clowns. I mean, clowns that were like had the makeup and were like actual clowns. Name five of them. I've got two. Actually, I've got three. I've got Emmett Kelly, the clown who did the Ringling Brothers Circus, who's, I think it was Emmett Kelly on the wall. There's Clarabelle from the Howdy Doody show. And if you're younger than 50 years old, you have no freaking idea what I'm talking about. And then there was Bozo. So I guess there were three clowns. I guess that's a lot of clowns in the scheme of clowndom. So on the wall opposite this bed is this clown. And I don't think it's Emmett Kelly. It's a painting of a clown. And the clown had a lot of orange in it. Thus, my mother put the picture on the wall because it matched her love of orange. But in the middle of the night, I swear I'd be sleeping, and I'd hear somehow, like, throughout the room, Ron, it's me, the clown on the wall. I am out to destroy you. I think I would hear that. I would hear it coming from somewhere, and then I would stare at the picture on the wall opposite me, and it was a clown talking to me. It was a clown. I'm not just a circus clown. I am evil personified, and I shall destroy everything on the planet and all that exists upon it. I said, wow, that is quite a threat from a clown. A far cry from a seltzer bottle. But true. There was actually one night where I actually took the picture off the wall and put it on the floor because the freaking thing freaked me out. I shouldn't be exposed to that kind of evil, shall I not? Anyway, That's true. That's a true story. It's a true story embellished to the point where it probably didn't happen. But nonetheless, I got to tell you something. It killed 10 minutes, and that's really what I'm going for here.
Aww.
I know. Ladies and gentlemen, coming up later in the program, this is one of the most interesting interviews I will probably ever do, which, of course, says absolutely nothing at all. Maya L. joins us. She is, I've been told, an incredibly fascinating author. She's written a book called Book of Angels, Twin Flames Rising. And a portion of the book, as I understand it, is about this incredible connection that people have to each other, like they're actual twins, like they came from the same egg. Egglands best. I don't know. It's a fascinating story, and there's a lot to it, a lot of twists and plots and reasons for writing this book. We will talk to her later on in the program. I've been told she's fascinating woman. I just hope she doesn't have large eyes, because that would freak me out beyond the pale, you know.
Whatever.
You know, it's going to be good, I'm telling you that right now. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a quick break, and when I come back, all kinds of things are going to happen.
Gentlemen, did you ever notice that it always seems to be the ladies who pamper themselves with a spa day, with the mani-pedi and the facials and the massage? Do you ever think maybe you'd like to have a special day for yourself, but you are afraid it might be a little gay? Well, good news, gentlemen. Now you can have your own special spa day at Ramon Ramirez's Not-So-Gay Salon for Men. Let Ramon Ramirez take the stress off a tough day with a long, deep massage. It's not gay, it's therapeutic. After you relax, Ramon Ramirez will use special oils and lotions and maybe clean up some of your hairier man parts. It's not gay, it's hygienic. A lot of guys are doing it. Then it's time to kick back and let it all hang out in a long steam room session with Ramon Ramirez. It's not gay, much. So gentlemen, why wait? It's time for you to have a great day for yourself at Ramon Ramirez's Not-So-Gay Salon for Men. Please, no fat guys.
You're listening to The Big Show with Ron Van Dam. I wish I could listen to it too. But sometimes he says bad words.
Hey, let's check and see what's going on in the White House. Well, apparently, according to reports that we're getting from news sources, this guy Donald Trump is still the president. What a crazy, wacky world that is, huh? Wow. Wow. It seems like the White House is battling everybody, the Department of Justice, the FBI, my grandmother, people in Congress, Democrats, Republicans, people who run countries, people who don't run countries, people who own ice cream shops, his dry cleaners, people that are trying to sue him. It's just crazy, man. And Omarosa, who was on The Apprentice, she was fired on The Apprentice. She got fired from the White House a while ago, and now she's talking. She's talking on a reality show called Big Brother. She's telling everybody on the Big Brother and on the show that everybody watches now. Not everybody, I don't certainly. She's telling him how awful Donald Trump is. It's a reality show within a reality show within a reality show within a reality show within a reality show. Problem is, I live in this country and I can't turn the reality show off because it is shoved down my mouth. All this dribble and disillusionment and destruction and anger is actually festering in my pants where I don't want it to be. And every time I change my pants to get rid of the dirt and the filth, I put on another pair that is just as dirty. What's going on? And that's what's happening in the White House. I talked about Emmett Kelly the clown. Now we have John Kelly the clown in the White House. Isn't it funny how that works out? I don't know if people know this, but I'm also dating Hope Hicks. That's an inside joke. You have to be politically connected. Oh my God. It would be funny if it wasn't true, but it is true, and it's not funny. It's about as funny as visiting your mother, staying in the guest room, and staring at a picture of a clown. That's how funny it is. It's time to talk to our guest. Maya L. joins us now. She's a political activist. We're tackling racial profiling in this love story that you've written. It's got a little bit of an erotic twist. What gave you the idea for this?
What gave me the idea for this?
That's a good question. That's a good question.
That's a very good question. the story is about twin flames, which is a concept that is in the New Age community, which is soulmates, only even stronger. Mm-hmm. And I experienced a connection such as that.
Is it an actual twin sibling situation, or is it just somebody that you connect really strongly with?
Yeah, it's someone that you connect on a spiritual level with. Can be described very much as a soulmate, like mm-hmm. a soulmate connection, but it is stronger. There is a pull and a longing that you feel toward one another, and it's just an indescribable connection. It's not necessarily a relationship, though.
No. Maya, is it something where you would say to yourself after meeting or being with this person that I have just met myself? Is it that kind of mirror reflection on your own being, or is it something else? Is it someone who isn't like you, yet you want to be like them? What is that feeling, that connection?
Well, you know, you just described it perfectly, almost as if you lived one yourself.
Okay.
That's it perfectly. But the connection is somewhat difficult. Because of the fact that in relationships, a lot of times people bring out the best in one another. Well, that's not necessarily true in the twin flame connection. Mm-hmm. There sometimes brings out the worst in the other individual, mm-hmm. And that's what causes that individual to grow spiritually. Mm-hmm.
Now, in the racial profiling sense of the writing and the police corruption, is this something that goes into your history or your knowledge?
It does. I remember back in the 90s, my father lived and my brother lived in the northern suburbs of Chicago.
Right.
And on a regular basis, my brother was pulled over by the police and stopped and harassed. And then I had sons of my own, and we raised them in Raleigh, North Carolina. My children are successful college graduates, and I would say, at least every couple of months, one of my sons gets stopped for no apparent reason by the police. Mm.
Yeah. That would explain that. The book, by the way, is called, I don't know if you've mentioned it yet, The Book of Angels, Twin Flames Rising.
Yes.
When you sit down and write something like this, are you using characters to express your own knowledge, or do these characters kind of take off on their own?
Well, this story, you know, I think it probably would be helpful if I could just tell you a little bit about the story.
Sure.
The book, of course, is called The Book of Angels, Twin Flames Rising.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the story of a young woman, Natalie Parker, who
yep.
lives in inner city Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
Natalie is married to an abusive minister who's mm-hmm. the lead pastor of the largest Black Baptist church in Chicago. The nation has just elected a new president whose campaign slogan was, "Let's make America a safe place to live again," because of police shootings of unarmed young Black people across the country.
Mm-hmm.
There have been riots in big cities, and the new president has instituted martial law with curfews in Chicago and other major cities.
So the opposite of this president. Okay.
Yes.
Go on.
Well.
Go. I'm sorry. Did I throw that in by mistake? Okay.
Maybe so.
Maybe.
Well, now from the outside, though, it appears that Natalie has it all, a beautiful home, powerful husband, but things are not always as they seem. Natalie's husband, Reverend Carson Parker, meets and has an affair with the head marketer for Planned Parenthood, whose aim it is to put a clinic near the church in the city. Now, Natalie studied Planned Parenthood in college and was knowledgeable and aware of the eugenics platform of the founder, who was Margaret Sanger, to eliminate unfit races that she felt were a burden to society.
Mm.
So when Natalie found out that her husband had been chosen by Planned Parenthood to encourage his followers to accept the new clinic, she begins to see that he's willing to kind of sell out his community to the highest bidder. But Natalie really does not know how evil Carson really is. And I can't really give that plot twist away.
No,
but
no.
To complicate matters, Natalie meets and connects with her twin flame. And what I would call the twin flame connection, it's a new age concept of a one-souled being that splits into a masculine partner and a feminine partner before they incarnate on Earth. Twin flames were chosen by God, whoever, you know, God, source, whoever you refer it to be, to assist the planet to ascend from the third to the fifth dimension during the turbulent times that would occur during the transitional period between the age of Pisces into the age of Aquarius, the famous age of Aquarius. The twin flame connection, it's a very intense connection, very, very intense, with the pair often having erotic dreams that occur prior to them even meeting one another. But the purpose of the twin flame connection isn't to have a traditional relationship. Each set of twins has a purpose or a mission. And in the case of Natalie and her twin flame, and his name is Tariq, their purpose is to save their community, the city of Chicago, and possibly even the nation.
It sounds like things become so troubled and disorganized that we're looking for some relief, some spiritual relief to intervene and to solve all of this, which is the way I feel kind of right now as far as our political situation is concerned. I'm waiting for that magic person to show up to take care of all this stuff. So this is similar in that sense with all the imbalance and blight and problems. This is kind of like a searching for some type of spiritual answer, I suppose.
Yeah, that's a perfect analogy. Now, my agenda is black empowerment through economic, social, spiritual empowerment through personal accountability and responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
That's basically, you know, what my agenda is. Now, I do feel like, as far as spiritually is concerned, that we have to stop looking for a savior.
Mm-hmm.
We've got to start looking within ourselves.
Yes, thank you.
And using our minds
to figure
some of these things out.
Thank you very much. Yes, I have often said, I don't know if you agree with me or not, and this isn't on the topic of the book necessarily. For example, when a football player scores a touchdown, the immediate reaction is to point to the sky and say, thank you for allowing me to do that. And I say, that's nice, that's comforting, but you have the power to change that yourself on this earth. It's you that made that touchdown, and it's you that can change things.
Yes, that's right. And if you practice hard enough, a little bit of talent is needed. But if you've got that talent within you and you practice hard enough, you create the reality yourself. You can't look for the Democratic Party or the Republican Party, you know, or anyone to save or to, I mean, you know, yes, definitely there are bad people and there's some people that should be leaders, but we have to start looking at ourselves individually and taking responsibility for our own behavior.
Yes. There's a lot in this book, my God. I mean, even the underlying messages and it's all there. How long did it take you to write this?
Well, it took me about 2 years. I also was working a full-time job. I'm a registered nurse by day and a writer by night.
Wow.
So I spent a lot of weekends and holidays on this book.
Great. That was a great message there. Well, a number of great messages, and it's also intriguing and even a little erotic. It's like walking into a department store. There's a little bit of everything when you walk in the door. And you leave, and you leave with a nice purchase. Okay. Are you working on something else?
Yes, I am. As a matter of fact, the Book of Angels, Twin Flames Rising, which is available on Amazon and Kindle, will have a sequel, and it will be the Book of Angels, The Rabbit Hole.
Is this all right? Let me ask you: is it because the characters just had more to say and more to do, and it wasn't their end, or is it that what was the reason?
Well, I can't give away the ending, there is more to come.
Yeah, okay, all right, very good.
At the very end of the story, there's just more to come, and definitely there's more to the story with Natalie and Tariq.
Okay. fantastic. It's The Book of Angels, Twin Flames Rising. You can Google that, find it on Amazon, Kindle, and who knows, maybe in a movie theater someday, you never know.
Yes.
That would be nice, huh? I like what you're doing, and I'll tell you why. Because some people write books in order to express themselves and to create, and other people write books for the embetterment of society, to something's in there that you walk away with something besides the story itself. So thank you for that. I do appreciate that type of writing and involvement.
Well, thank you. It's been an honor to talk to you.
Well, same to you, Maya, and continued success.
Thank you very much.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Interesting stuff, man. That had so much in it, so many different ways to go. It's a fascinating book. I only do interviews book-wise with fascinating people because books bore me. They really, really do. I was not brought up on books. I was a TV vid kid. Everything I did was visual. I used my eyes to entertain myself. I know you need your eyes to read, but I use my eyes for... I figure, like, why read a book when you can sit down in front of an electronic contraption and it shows you things? You can not only hear it, but you can see it, and you can... Wow, why bother with books? And then I spent a lot of my career doing video production, so I kind of followed that all the way through. But every once in a while, some people will capture my attention to the point where they don't bore me. And believe me, if you can hold my attention and not bore me through the writing of a book, then you are extraordinary. And this book is one of them. I'm very picky. Very, 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 very picky. I'm annoyingly picky. I am picky, picky, picky. I pick big time. I'm a picker. I'm a joker. I'm a smoker. I'm a midnight toker. I don't know. Those are the lyrics to something, but I don't quite know what. Ladies and gentlemen, we're just about out of time for today. Before I part company with you, I would like to tell you I think on every show I should divulge some type of great secret in my life. And then you tell me one of your great secrets, and that way we build on a relationship that will last for days. All right, here's one of my deep, dark secrets. Are you ready? This is very, very telling, so you be careful. Don't tell anybody else. This is just between you and me. All right, ready? One of my deep, dark secrets. I don't wear socks to bed. No, I don't. I don't care how cold it is outside. It can be like 20 degrees below zero. I refuse to have my feet covered when I'm sleeping. Okay, now you tell me one of your deep, dark secrets. Go on. Wow. Seriously? That's disgusting. Have yourselves a wonderful day. I'll be back with you again the next weekday that comes around. Until then, I wish you peace. Have a nice weekend. Stay away from clowns. They're evil. Don't touch them, certainly. Things rub off on you. It'll create some type of a tunnel to hell. Stay away from clowns.